What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Have you mentioned our...
No, I haven't yet. Okay. And aloha, welcome back to the show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on YouTube, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire. And what she was asking is, as you can see, we have matching uniforms today, at least from the waist up.
Yes.
And this was because the Special Olympics was holding a fundraiser outside our supermarket yesterday. And we tossed in a very small donation for which we got these T-shirts, which would have actually cost us a lot more had we bought them at the shopping mall.
Yes, yes.
So it was a bargain for both.
It was a win-win.
It was a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the first thing you want to talk about?
Well, apparently, and this comes to us from Zero Hedge, stocks and yuan have jumped on reports that the U.S. and China are kind of working their way through the trade talks, which are going to culminate with a meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping at multilateral summits in November. Mike, this is a positive thing.
This would be a very positive
this
development.
Is a good
Somebody
thing.
Finally woke up and realized that these sanctions are not working out. They're causing more harm than good.
Yeah, you know, so I'm kind of relieved. There is another story very interesting about Google. There is a movement among Google employees, and it's called Code Yellow, and they are in revolt over a clandestine China project to put a very censored version of Google up in China.
Yeah, well, I can understand they're being upset.
Mm-hmm.
There have actually been a lot of very unhappy people at Google, not just over this idea of allowing Google to engage in censorship, allowing the web browser, web search engine to engage in censorship,
mm-hmm.
but also over Google's desire to get involved with military contracts. And
yeah,
it's led to some resignations as well.
Yeah. Apparently, the people who have been circulating this email cite urgent moral and ethical issues in a letter that's been circulated internally. And apparently, there are a lot of people in Google who are very ticked off about this.
Well, I can understand that because mm-hmm. when you work for a company like that, the image of the company is your image as well.
Yeah.
If the company has a good, positive image, you feel proud about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if the company all of a sudden is engaging in this kind of behavior,
yep.
I think most employees, they personalize it. And they say, this is reflecting badly on me, and mm-hmm. I really don't like it.
This is not who I am.
And yeah. I remember one time many years ago when I was still working in advertising where the company I was working for was engaged in a very sneaky way to get the name of a cigarette brand on TV. Cigarette advertising was banned.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a real problem with that. And I requested to be moved to a different project. We actually have a caller on the line here, Mateus in Canada. Aloha, Mateus. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Looking forward to the weekend?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, me too. I wanted to call regarding the priest in Canada who got arrested for quoting the Bible in the portions of the Bible that are not fond of homosexuality. And so mm-hmm. obviously that is conflicting a lot of like freedom of speech and freedom of religion and all that. And I wanted to mention that he had a fairly clever T-shirt. So he quoted the Bible saying, "Pride goes before the fall." I think the original.
Mateus.
And then
Mateus,
he had
just
a regular rainbow, like not a pride flag rainbow, but just a regular children's rainbow. But it got the point. Mm-hmm. And it was a homosexual police officer that arrested him. So this is like exercising, you know, the bias and of the police officer. It's not illegal to quote the Bible. And he got arrested a few years ago for like, you know, handing out information pamphlets that were explaining how HIV is, you know, being spread more easily with man-on-man intercourse, you know. And so this is a religion. Like, so we don't have very good freedom of speech here. And no. I wanted to also, like, I did get this poster removed from our transit systems that was, like, the pride flag colors saying that oral pleasure is our business, grocery store, and then it's a grocery store. So, you know, it can make a difference, you know, just that people can, you can call in.
See, I think that's like funny. I think that's a funny poster. You know, and I would personally have been okay with that. Listen, Mateus, Canada has not had free speech for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. They have long ago criminalized criticism of Israel. They've gone over to the dark side, and it is a real problem. And you have this issue that, you know, freedom of speech means freedom to speak your mind, even if people don't like it. And we're on this slippery slope right now where the liberals are saying that free speech has to stop where you offend somebody. Well, the liberals are offended by everything. That's their identity.
That's their MO.
You'll never meet a happy liberal. They're always miserable and offended about something because that's their self-image. And, you know, it's a big planet. No matter what you say, somebody somewhere will be offended by it. But you can't have freedom of speech and an offense-free environment at the same time. And that's just reality. But the liberals have got this fantasy that they're going to have an offensive-free world, but everybody will still have freedom of speech. They'll just have the good sense not to actually use it.
Right.
Yeah, it is true. I wonder how that works with the freedom of speech to put up a public sign of, like, endorsed by the government advocating, like, oral sex between men, like oral pleasure is our business. Like, it's a gay pride flag. It's talking about, you know what? You can visualize it. It's pretty hardcore, you know. And there's children running around. It's in front of a park, you know. It's
I'm sure the parents are going to be very uncomfortable with that, but. You know, it's a conflict. I mean, do you have freedom of religion? Well, then you get to quote the Bible. As a matter of fact, there was a story, I didn't get to it today, but I'm going to mention it right now, where these Satanists have put up a statue of Baphomet in front of, I think it's either the Arkansas or the Alabama State House. And the point they're trying to make with it is not worship of Satan, but they're saying the State House has the Ten Commandments in it. Which they see as a violation of the First Amendment, where government is not supposed to respect any one institution of religion. So if the Ten Commandments are going to be up there, then this 8-foot-tall bronze statue of Baphomet has to stay there as well. So that one's probably going to wind up in a court case somewhere as well.
Yep.
Anyway, Mateus, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go and get back to the news. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And so let's see. Please continue.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the last time Google employees revolted. And the company literally abandoned its controversial AI drone initiative known as Project Maven. And about a dozen employees quit, and close to 4,000 signed a petition. And many of the same people who led the last effort are now involved in the China protests. So there is a voice of conscience over there. One doesn't see it by the current deplatforming of certain controversial people, but there is a voice of conscience trying to work to steady the course.
In the hierarchy of all of these companies, the ethical, moral people with conscience are down here, and the absolutely immoral, unethical are at the top. That's how they get to be at the top.
Yes, I know.
They're willing to do things that the ethical and moral people are not.
Right. The next thing I'd like to talk about is Turkey, which has been in the news, and allegedly about this reverend who was being held and detained. Well, Mike, that's not really it at all. Mm-hmm. Turkey exercised its right to do what it wanted in terms of defense spending by picking up the Russia S-400 defensive system, which works like crazy, and did not buy the American system. And again, from Zero Hedge, El Arian warns that unless Erdogan changes his course, there's going to be a much wider economic damage. And apparently what Turkey is refusing to do is to raise its interest rates and seek some form of IMF support. And Turkey has said, no, 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 not doing that, not doing that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any nation that gets tangled up with the IMF, they get bled dry here. By the way, were you aware there's a report that this pastor is actually a CIA station
chief? Oh, I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it. Yeah. That would make absolute sense in terms of U.S. foreign policy. And as typically the case, the first wave of contagion has been technical, driven by outflows from Turkey's currency and bond markets. But the longer this goes on, Mike, it's going to lead to more disruptive financial and economic outcomes. And as such, central banks in several emerging economies, like Argentina, Hong Kong, and Indonesia, have already felt compelled to take countermeasures. And what has followed is what makes this episode of emerging market crisis very different. Because rather than sticking with a course that a number of countries have done, like Argentina earlier this year, Turkey has shunned in a very public manner any help from the IMF. And we've had some very strident pronouncements by President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And so what he's got is a terrible depreciating exchange rate.
Yep.
And at one point, the lira was halved, almost half in value. And Turkey has taken a number of measures to attempt to simulate, albeit partially, the traditional approach that emerging economies have tended to follow in the past. It's tightened funding and provided liquidity to domestic...
No, it's tightened the funding conditions.
Conditions, and at the same time provided liquidity to domestic banks along with regulatory watchdogs, made it harder for foreigners to access lira liquidity, squeezing speculators who had shorted the currency. And it promised to deal with credit and fiscal excesses while ruling out capital controls. Now, they have mobilized at least $15 billion from Qatar. Qatar threw them a lifeline.
Yep.
And to be used for direct investment in Turkey. And in the midst of this, the government also found time to retaliate against the doubling of tariffs on Turkish metal exports by President Trump's administration. And the question, which I guess will sort of be played out in the markets early next week, is if this is going to be enough to take the pressure off the lira, the Turkish currency. What do you think?
Well, we have to take into consideration the possibility of covert economic warfare being waged by the United States.
Yeah.
But
it
could come at a very high cost because of that contagion. A lot of people are concerned about exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
The problem with having a global economy is when it comes down, it all comes down together. We saw a foretaste of that back in 2008 with the collapse of the mortgage-backed security fraud.
Right.
Now, that should have been a problem only for the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
But because of all the links between U.S. banks and European banks, some of those European banks got into trouble. There were reports of secret transfers of gold or gold bonds and clandestine bailouts to keep the system going. But we know that the economy globally is in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
When it breaks, it has to break at one point first, and it could be Turkey.
Yeah, definitely. And even the credit rating agency Fitch is saying that Turkey's actions are probably going to be insufficient to restore policy credibility. This is a big one, you know. And The situation, as you said, may spread in contagion to a lot of other banks and a lot of other countries. And Fitch is calling the response incomplete. And there's another aspect of this, too, because Turkey has taken in a lot of refugees from these war zones. So Turkey's collapse could send millions, with a mill, of refugees flooding into Europe, which is not doing so well with the refugees
they already have
here. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there had been this deal where Turkey was going to keep these refugees from going to Europe.
Yep.
On certain conditions, which, as I understand it, have not really been met.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, taking care of all these refugees is another reason why Turkey's economy is under strain.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got more sanctions coming from the U.S., the plummeting lira. And already, Turkish President Erdogan has said that what the U.S. is doing is nothing short of economic warfare.
Yes.
And you had some information about the background of this alleged U.S. pastor, Andrew Bunson. Pastors are a really good cover and front for operatives,
right? Oh, yeah. When you
throughout history?
When you have spies in another country. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are these diplomatic spies, the ones that everybody sort of nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more are spies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Attached to the embassies. They'll have titles like cultural attaché and mm-hmm. things like that. And they follow our spies and we follow their spies. And it's all very civilized.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the deep cover spies that you hope nobody knows about.
Yeah.
That's certainly that was the case with the CIA and those 30 agents and assets they lost over in China.
Yikes, that was awful.
And these deep cover agents very often are covered as journalists
mm-hmm.
Or religious, you know, clergy.
Or members of NGOs,
non-governmental organizations
yeah.
here. Mm-hmm. One of the smarter things the CIA did many, many years ago, as you know, the CIA owns a lot of companies. They're called proprietaries. And one of the ones they owned was this company that published travel guides for all over the world. And they were very good travel guides. I think they may still be in business. I don't
Fodor's?
Know.
Fodor's Travel Guide.
And what a wonderful cover that was. Yeah. You know, their spy would go into the country and everybody would say, oh, Fodor's Travel Guide, come, let me show you this. Let me show you that. Let me take you over here.
Yeah.
And was rather clever, actually.
Yeah. I didn't find out until years later, but my late dad actually worked for a CIA proprietary.
Evergreen Air.
No. Slick Airlines.
That was it. What a wonderful name. You know, Slick Airlines.
Yeah. You know, and my late dad was a very excellent aircraft instrument mechanic.
Yep.
If you ever wanted to fly, you wanted to fly in a plane where Spencer had done the testing out of those instruments because they would have calibrated out at 100%.
Yep.
But the one good thing that they did do was get the Dalai Lama out of Tibet right before the communists came in.
Yep.
So, you know, in my mind, there was a little bit of salvific work on that regard. But getting back to the issue of Turkey, millions of refugees, primarily from North Africa and Syria, would flood into Europe as the Turkish economy collapses. Now, that's an evaluation by Newsweek.
Well, I disagree with Newsweek.
Okay.
Because the war in Syria mm-hmm. is coming to a close.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the battle for Idlib.
For Idlib, yes.
And then it's time to start rebuilding. Russia and China are already stepping on in. They're going to mm-hmm. help with the rebuilding. The U.S. is being cut out of that and all the money that could be made doing that. And we already know that some of the Syrian refugees have already returned from Europe.
Yeah.
So I would suspect that once the Syrian war is officially over, mm-hmm. that a lot of the Syrians currently living in Turkey are probably going to go back to Syria because they can see what's going on in Europe and what a hostile reaction the refugees have generated with their behavior up there.
Yeah.
But there are still the African refugees that are going to have to be dealt with. And meantime, of course, you've got Europe. Countries are starting to slam those gates shut. Even politicians who claim to be pro-immigration are saying there have to be limits.
Yeah.
Our economy and our job market cannot absorb this.
No, they just can't.
So I think maybe these African migrants ought to think about going back to Africa, going back to their homes, because the reality is they weren't really fleeing persecution or war. In fact, the guy who drove that car into that crowd was applying for refugee status, claiming that he feared for his life if he ever went back to Sudan.
Okay.
Then they found out he'd applied for a visa to go back to Sudan on holiday.
Oh, hello.
You know, economic migration.
Yeah.
They think Europe and the United States have got all this money just falling from the trees and they want their share of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen many trees with money on them. The
money trees
are not there.
Guava.
Yes.
Papaya.
Avocado.
Banana.
Yes. But getting back to this issue of Turkey, over 3.5 million refugees are now there. And but there are at least 500,000 refugees from other parts of the Middle East and Northern Africa also living in Turkey, which is very interestingly positioned between...
Yes.
It straddles, if you will, the European world and the Middle East.
Yeah, it's the gateway to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Here, we got to take a break for commercials,
okay.
And we'll be back after these few words.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, and please continue, Claire.
Yeah, I'd like to sort of finish on this thing with Turkey. Apparently, Erdogan was convinced to bring the European migrant influx under control in exchange for $6.6 billion in assistance. But this may not even be enough if the Turkish economy goes deeper into this spiral down.
Well, as I understand it, Turkey has already spent $60 billion, 6-0, taking care of all of these migrants and refugees.
Yeah, yeah. I would also like to go over, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, and this cannot be seen as any kind of alt-right reporting. The Wall Street Journal is asking, what was Bruce Orr doing? And, you know, his actions are just untenable, Mike.
Yep.
And it shows us the absolute and complete corruption of the, I guess we could call it the U.S. Injustice Department right now, rather than the Justice Department.
No, it's the Just Us Department.
Yeah, right, right. This man should immediately have his security clearance yanked.
Yes.
Okay? Because he actually began feeding info to the FBI from dossier author Christopher Steele in late 2016 after the FBI had terminated the guy as a confidential informant for violating the Bureau's rules.
Well, at that point, Steele was being paid for directly through Fusion GPS.
And through Hillary Clinton, I'm sure.
Well, it was a money laundry, basically. Yeah. It was from Hillary and the DNC to a law firm, from a law firm to Fusion GPS, and Fusion GPS to Christopher Steele.
Yeah. And apparently, the FBI pumped Mr. Orr for information at least a dozen times, debriefs that remain classified. Why?
They don't want you to know what's in them.
Nah, I guess not. I guess not. I certainly do. And
I'm mildly curious myself.
Yeah, you know, and apparently the Justice Department has now turned over Orr documents to Congress to show how deeply in bed the guy was with the Clintonistas. Emails, calls, meetings, notes, and describe his interactions and what he collected. And I mean, this conduct is completely troubling to anyone who would like to think that we have a vestige of justice still left in this country.
No, it was just completely corrupt.
I mean, yeah.
Basically, over at Department of Justice, they're acting like a bunch of frat boys.
Yeah.
Like frat girls.
Yeah.
Or frat genderless.
Frat people.
Frat people.
Yes.
And if you've gone to college, you know what I'm talking about, how crazy that gets.
Oh, yes, definitely. And apparently, Orr concealed his role from some superiors because Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has testified. Now, I don't know if this is under oath, but testified that he had been unaware of Mr. Orr's intermediary status. Do you believe that for a second?
I don't believe anything coming out of Rosenstein's mouth.
Yeah.
We don't really know. All that we know is we don't know.
And it gets better. Because Fusion's bank records show Nellie Orr, his wife, benefiting from the Trump opposition research that Mr. Orr continued to pass to the FBI. Mm-hmm. Now, the Justice Department has declined to comment on this. But even over all of this, the worst is the misconduct by the FBI and the Justice Department.
Yep.
You know, it was bad enough that the Bureau relied on a dossier crafted by a man in the employ of the rival presidential campaign. Bad enough that it never informed FISC, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, of that dossier's provenance. And bad enough that the FBI didn't fire Steele as a confidential human resource in September of 2016 because it was obvious he was leaking FBI details to the press to harm Trump's electoral chances. And it terminated him only when it was absolutely forced to, when Mr. Steele gave an on-the-record interview last Halloween, Halloween of October 31st, 2016. And now the FBI continued to go to this discredited information in its investigation after the firing by funneling his information via a Justice Department cutout. I mean, the absolute swampery, Mike, just doesn't end here.
Good term, swampery.
Swampery.
I'm going to start using that one here.
The swampery is complete. And, Mr. President, I'm hoping your vow to drain it is going to start getting real. I want to see Hillary Clinton's security clearance revoked.
Yeah, absolutely.
That will be when I know he's serious.
Donald Trump is not draining the swamp. In fact, he opened up the White House doors and he hired the alligators and water moccasins.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really sad to think of how low this government has sunk in terms of
the rot.
Machinations. Yeah, the rot.
Yeah.
And just, we're not getting the government we thought we were, and we haven't been for a long time.
No, we haven't been for a long time. And I keep saying, I foresee a Soviet Union-style collapse as the future of the United States federal government. We've got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Women and aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Claire, what's your next story?
Well, the timing strikes me as very odd on this. The U.S. is doubling the number of Marines in Norway. And the U.S. has confirmed to more than double, actually, the number of troops in Norway. And Russia has criticized it as clearly unfriendly. Now, the Norwegian Defense Ministry on Wednesday said that the U.S. had informed them that they planned to push forward a grouping to increase the number of U.S. Marines stationed in Norway from 300 to up to 700. That's kind of a huge, you know, that's kind of a huge jump.
Yes,
right?
It is.
And so the schedule apparently will continue beyond 2018 and could include up to 700 soldiers. Now, these Marines will be the first foreign troops stationed in Norway since World War II. Now, they were expected to leave Norway at the end of 2018, but the posting will now last up to 5 years. Michael, what's up with that? Talk to me.
It's just more of this, you know, mm-hmm. building up the Cold War, you know, the Russians are bad, Putin is evil. We've got, you know, we wish we could spend the tax money on the roads and the schools and the hospitals and the bridges and the rail line. But gosh darn those Russians, we have to spend all of your money on bombs and bullets and aircraft carriers that don't really work all that well, airplanes that asphyxiate their pilots, and littoral combat ships that will never actually see a day of combat.
Right, right. Now, in the local Norwegian news, Norway's foreign minister, Ine Eriksen Spurge, dismissed Russia's claims and said that the Norwegian government position is that this is not a permanent military base. Oh, yeah, right, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also been met with criticism in Norway from both the social left and labor parties, who are arguing that the priority should be maintaining a strong Norwegian troop presence near the northern border with Russia. However, a gentleman by the name of Arkady Savitsky writes for the Strategic Culture Foundation that the formation of Norway into the tip of the knife for an attack on Russia is taking place because of the speedy militarization of other Scandinavian countries, the Baltic states and Poland.
Yeah, so that's basically what it is.
Yeah, you know, it's not a question of when this is going to happen. You know, it's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon.
Well, and, you know, I don't think anybody in this country really wants to go to war against Russia.
I'd like to hope not.
This is a replay of the Cold War, where the government went booga booga at the American people. The Soviets are coming to get you. Gee, I thought the Soviets were our friends. They helped us out against Hitler. Well, now they're the enemy, and you've got to hate them, and you've got to be afraid of them. And that's why we can't spend your tax money on the roads, schools, hospitals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower warned us about. And now they're trying to scream booga-booga about Russia again. And from the point of view of the military-industrial complex, the idea is to have our troops all over the world requiring all kinds of supplies and all kinds of equipment, all of which cost huge amounts of money with huge markups.
Yeah.
And these defense contractors are getting insanely wealthy off of this.
Yeah.
And they support members of Congress who support them. They make you know, a lot of campaign donations. They parcel out subcontracts for these weapon systems into the districts of members of Congress who support the new Cold War.
Right.
And any member of Congress who basically says this is not really a good idea can count on not getting the contracts into their district. And that, of course, has repercussions on their next election.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, with the military-industrial complex in this country, we are not getting the weapons we need to have any kind of a military edge over Russia and China.
If it's a Cold War, they just have to look good and look mean.
Yeah.
By the way, Fox News is now running a story on the military threat from China. China's the new threat.
Oh, boy.
You know, they really didn't get much traction with be afraid of the Russians. So now it's be afraid of the Chinese.
Yeah.
And that won't get any traction, and then it'll be afraid of the Australians, be afraid of the Kiwis, be afraid of somebody. We want your money here.
Yeah, the 15 minutes of hate.
Yeah, the 15, yeah. 2 minute hate.
Two minute hate.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe 15 was a little too tiring.
No, it's 15 minutes of fame and 2 minutes of hate.
Ah, okay, there we go.
All right.
There has been a very interesting development with Russia. They are now deploying nuclear-capable strategic bombers near Alaska. And so as NATO continues to defensively posture with an increasing number of troops, infrastructure, missile launchers, and missile shield systems, apparently the Russians are doing likewise on the other side of the world. And the Russian military say that two nuclear-capable strategic bombers have flown to the easternmost Chukotka Peninsula near Alaska as part of an exercise.
It's not that near to Alaska, by the way.
No,
the
no.
Is trying to make it, you know, look like you can see these bombers from Sarah Palin's
front
porch.
But I mean, it's over 4,000 miles away from Alaska.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Not exactly near. But I don't think that the Russians are taking these moves lightly, like the doubling, the increase of the Marines in Norway. You know, they're making their own
these
moves
as
well.
These are all provocations.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Putin has to deal with his own hardliners back in Russia. And they've got to match force on force. Russia's advantage is they can do it for a lot less money than the military-industrial complex. In fact, this year's Russian budget actually cuts spending for the military. They don't need to spend as much as we do because their military industry is all about making the weapons, not about making record profits for the stockholders and the executives.
Yeah, yeah. And consequently, they do have weaponry, as has been seen in Syria with the Russians.
Yes.
That performs exactly as advertised. The U.S. military industrial.
And that's why countries like Turkey are dropping the American-made weapons.
Yeah.
And they're going with the Russian-made weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More bang for the buck, so to speak.
Absolutely. Speaking of bang, I'd like to turn over to a problem in California.
Like they don't have enough.
Yeah. Apparently, the defunct nuclear power plant on California coast is being characterized as a Fukushima waiting to happen. Now, this is the power plant that was shut down in 2012 and is still leaking radioactive material. It's the old San Onofre plant located in San Clemente. And there was a leak there that occurred due to malpractice. At least that's what we were told.
That actually is what happened.
Right.
The owners of San Onofre wanted to make more money by generating more electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So they replaced the heat exchangers
that
basically take the contaminated water from the reactors and use it to heat uncontaminated water, which then goes to the turbines.
Right.
And they made them a lot larger. They told the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, I'm sorry, the Department of Energy, that this was routine maintenance, but it was actually a clandestine upgrade.
Yeah.
And then some budgetary person basically changed the specifications for the heat exchanger tubes to a metal less able to withstand the radiation that was coming from the primary cooling loop water.
That's scary.
And that's why it sprang the leak, and it's still leaking to this day.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to be a new Fukushima for the simple reason that the reactor has been shut down. And so it's not generating heat. The spent fuel rods are, you know, obviously still warm, but it's not an active reactor.
No.
It could be a nuclear disaster. It's certainly not going to be on the scale of Fukushima or even Chernobyl. Might be an equal to Three Mile Island.
Okay. But it's still storing about 3.6 million pounds of lethal radioactive waste, right?
Yes. According to this report, yes.
Yeah. And there was apparently a worker who blew the whistle on the plant just last week because they had a near catastrophe. As the local outlet, the Dana Pointer, reported, plant worker David Fritsch explained what happened in a public meeting. And he said that on 3 August this year, a 100-ton canister filled with highly radioactive nuclear waste was being downloaded into a temporary transport carrier to be moved a few hundred yards from inside the plant to a storage silo buried near the San Onofre beach. And as the thin-walled canister was being lowered, it snagged on a guide ledge 4 feet from the top. Now, this is scary stuff. Crane operators were unaware that the canister had stopped descending, and the rigging went completely slack, leaving the full weight of the heavy canister perched on that ledge by about a quarter of an inch. And apparently, had the ledge not held for the hour more it took for workers to realize and work with the error, that thin-walled canister of toxic nuclear waste would have fallen 18 feet to the ground. That's scary stuff.
That would have been a problem.
That's scary stuff.
What I'm wondering is why, with a cargo like that, they didn't have somebody on the ground on a radio watching it, talking to the crane operators.
Well, that would have been logical.
Well, it would have been expensive.
You know,
we've got to save money here, so we're not going to have that. I remember one time I was working on a commercial which involved a 747 that had to be done in computer animation. And as part of the research for the commercial, we got to go out to the airport and walk around a 747, not inside the cabin or through the gate, but actually in the maintenance area where the plane was undergoing a complete renovation. And we were there when they started to tow it out of the hangar. And they had six guys around that aircraft with whistles.
Yeah.
And at one point, somebody had to blow the whistle because the vertical stabilizer had snagged on a cable that hadn't been pulled up high enough.
Oh boy.
That's how you handle delicate cargo like that.
Yeah.
This borders on criminal negligence on the part of the San Onofre manager.
I agree. I agree. And thank heaven there was someone willing to talk about it publicly.
Yes.
You know, I'm going back to Europe and Asia and to Zero Hedge and a gentleman, I believe he's been on your show, Pepe Escobar, long time ago.
Yes.
Very bright man for whom I have a lot of respect. And he's talking about something that is nothing less than completely historic and a big deal. And this is all hands on deck as the Caspian sails toward Eurasia integration. Now, the five states surrounding the sea, Russia, Azerbaijan, Iran, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan, have finally reached a series of compromises and understandings on sovereign and exclusive rights, as well as freedom of navigation of the Caspian Sea.
And this has been an area of friction for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And so this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, the deal's been in the works for a long time on the legal status, and it was signed on Sunday in the Kazakh port of Aktu, and it is being said to be a defining moment in the ongoing massive drive toward Eurasian integration. Think of this as maybe a next step toward the Silk Road, the Silk and Belt Road.
This, I think, is going to be a parallel.
Yes.
Because the One Belt, One Road initiative is traveling far north of it.
Yes.
But again, it's considered a connectivity corridor between Asia and Europe. Mm-hmm. And there is a wealth of oil and gas in the area.
Yeah.
And now they, rather than go to war over it, they've all agreed to say share and share alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently a lot of the reasons for the complexity of the negotiations had to do with how was the Caspian being defined? Was it a sea or was it a lake? And should it be divided between the five states into separate sovereign tracts or developed kind of like you do a condominium? And so apparently they reached some difficult compromises on these rights, freedom of navigation, freedom of access of all the vessels in the Caspian Sea to the world's oceans and back. In the words of a Kazakh diplomat, it's a pipeline.
Yes.
This is one of the most important situations you're not going to hear on the prostitutes and correspondents, and crucially on a military level. There are only five countries now which will be allowed to navigate. The United States is not one of those countries.
Military forces,
yeah. And President Putin described the deal in no uncertain terms as having been epic-making in its significance, and you can understand why. So what is going to happen the next time the U.S. challenges it with a freedom of navigation thing?
Well, I'm expecting that will happen because of the habitual chest thumping we're seeing coming out of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I imagine that they'll be asked nicely to leave and be escorted out by the military forces in the area.
Mm-hmm.
The captain of a U.S. ship would have to be a bonehead to actually fire a shot, but who knows? The problem with being in this Cold War situation is it takes only one accident to turn it hot.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that one the hard way during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right, right. Well, going back to Latin America, Secta Mattis is unhappy. And he claims Latin American countries are selling out their sovereignty to Russia and China.
And by golly, they should sell it out to us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, come on. Apparently, there's a Chinese space force in Argentina, Russian control of Venezuelan gas, and South American armies equipped with the latest Chinese and Russian hardware. And until recently, it would have sounded like a plot on a thriller, but SecDef Mattis is claiming that economic and military posturing by Beijing and Moscow have been on the rise for the last decade. Well,
no,
duh.
That's not what's going on.
That's not what's happening.
The United States is in decline.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here.
Yeah. And analysts are saying that Chinese loans in recent years have allowed authoritarian leaders to consolidate power in Venezuela, Bolivia, Nicaragua, and have separately generated corruption scandals that have brought down the presidents of Ecuador and Argentina.
Oh, yes. Let's blame China for that. It's all the fault of China.
Or Russia. Let's blame both of them.
That's right.
And they've been selling military equipment. Well, I'm sorry, but right now, SecDef Mathis, you can get a lot more bang for your buck in buying from Moscow and China because their weaponry is working as advertised.
And it doesn't cost anywhere near as much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the U.S. is literally trying to arm twist all these other countries to go back to the world as it was in the 1950s.
Ain't going
to
work.
You know, depend on the U.S. dollar for all trade and banking, buy all your weapons from the United States, buy America's products even if you don't like them.
Yeah.
And no, it isn't working. The U.S. is becoming isolated.
Very.
The global economy is restructuring itself, and right in the middle of it is going to be this deep, dark hole where the U.S. dollar used to be.
Yeah, you know, everything I'm seeing.
Okay, we got to take a break for commercials.
Alrighty.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we have an update on this story about CNN trying to get the names and home addresses of the jurors in the Manafort trial. Claire?
Apparently, Judge Ellis has declined this motion by WAPO, CNN, and BuzzFeed to unseal jurors' names, nor will he release sealed transcripts from bench conferences. He says that he will order them released after the trial has concluded.
Meaning the transcripts here.
Yeah.
Now, Judge Ellis is now under federal protection because of the threats that he was receiving.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's the full list of everybody who demanded that sealed juror information. The Washington Compost, the New York Slimes, Associated Press, CNN, NBC, Politico, and BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm smelling panic and desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And especially given the fact that the jury was asking for a clarification of reasonable doubt.
Right.
This trial may not be going good for Mueller. And as
Maybe
I mentioned
not.
Before in the program, Mueller has bet the farm on getting a conviction here to save his reputation, to basically make it look like he didn't just completely waste the last year and a half and several million dollars of taxpayer money. But if Manafort is acquitted, and remember, he was investigated on these exact same charges 8 years ago.
By Rosenstein, right? Yeah.
And they decided it wasn't worth prosecuting. So if Manafort is acquitted, okay, then it's a huge blow to the deep state. It's a huge blow to the corporate media who've been treating him like he's guilty all along.
Yeah.
And it's a huge blow to Robert Mueller. And if they're resorting to this idea of trying to get the jurors' names and addresses and they're threatening the judge.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That tells you just how ugly this whole business is getting.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your next story here.
Next story is something that Blackwater founder Eric Prince is floating regarding Afghanistan. This has been around for a while.
Yeah.
But apparently President Trump is so frustrated with whatever changes in personnel, which of course will not work in Afghanistan, and the fact that it's been producing no results, and Eric Prince is talking about privatizing the war. Mike, this would be one of the worst things this government could possibly do.
Well, that's true for two reasons. One, it will drive the cost of the war up.
Yeah.
And two, privatized armies are not subject to the Geneva rules.
No.
And we already know that Blackwater was contracted to work in Iraq, and some of the worst atrocities committed down there were done by the Blackwater soldiers.
Yeah.
So it's generally a bad idea. But you need to understand that there is a segment of the Pentagon that doesn't want to make progress in Afghanistan because if they win in Afghanistan, then they have to pack up all their toys and go home and stop getting all that money.
Yeah.
You know, these wars get dragged out in part to keep the flow of cash going.
And the flow of opium right now when we're talking about Afghanistan.
And that
Afghanistan.
Oil pipeline right
yeah.
away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there's the music. It's time for us to get on out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Have yourselves a really restful weekend. We certainly are going to try and do that ourselves
yes.
here. Stay tuned for John Steadmiller. I'm sure he's got a lot of stuff to share with you as well. Please make a point of talking to everybody about how the corporate social media is trying to silence the independent media and ask, what are they so afraid of? We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think.
Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.